But let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like things were out of control? You know, times when you faced some sort of crisis in your life or stood with someone else when stuff happened. When all of your plans just seemed in a nanosecond to turn to dust. And no matter what you tried to resolve the problem, nothing seemed to work. Everywhere you turned, you felt like you hit a brick wall. You found yourself, unlike this situation, feeling powerless. For me, I hate feeling powerless. I'm a control freak, I have to confess. Have you ever felt that way? Any of you? Good. I don't feel so alone. See, it can be really frustrating, especially for us Christians. I mean, really, God's on our side, right? I mean, He's working for us. I mean, we have a scripture, Romans 8:28. It says, we know that all things work together for them who are called according to the love of God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. We have that promise. All things don't always seem to work together. I love the words of the minister down at First Baptist on one of their advertisements. It says, and life just seems to run out. I can relate to that. Now he goes on and says in the New Testament, and then Jesus comes in, and Jesus does come in. But in the Old Testament, Jesus wasn't there yet. And that's where we find Abraham in today's readings, found in Genesis 15. Now I want to give you some background. Abraham had, with his father, left the land that they were perfectly capable and very rich in. And then he buried his dad in Haran, and he went on to the land that God said He would show him. And then God moved him, and he sojourned to a place that God told him to go. God made him a promise of a son. He went down into Egypt and lied about being married, got in a little trouble, but in all that time he got blessed. Things were cool. They left Egypt and went back up into the land that God had promised him, and he and Lot had a little problem, remember? They had been too prosperous, and they had too many cattle, and they had to separate, so Abraham had said, okay, here's all the land. Lot, you pick your choice. And Lot looked down into the valley, and it was green and prosperous. And Lot said, I'll take that part. And he went down, and Abraham settled, and life was good. And then the kings of the north came down into to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and conquered the kings and left, taking all the possessions, including Abraham's nephew Lot. That kind of ticked off Abraham. Abraham wasn't planning on a war, but he took his mighty men, all 317 of them that had been born into his household, and he went after the four kings of the north, and overtook them at night, and defeated, soundly defeated them, and rescued Lot and all of his people and took all of his possessions and went back and settled, stopped by in a city that we now know as Jerusalem, and paid homage to the priest there that we now know as Melchizedek, and gave him a tithe, and all of that went well, and God visited Abraham in a dream. And in 15:1 it says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward." And Abraham's attitude was, "Really? Really? I just went to war that I didn't plan on? Really? I defeated all of these people. I gave your king, your priest, a tithe. And all you got to say to me is, you're my shield?" And in that same dream, Abraham said, "And by the way, you promised me a son 12 years ago, and that never happened either." Have you ever felt like arguing with God? I mean, here it is. Once I had the victory, I gave gratitude to your priest, and all you got to say to me is, "You're my shield?" Didn't sound like a complaint to me. I think Abraham was just being honest. Maybe a little irritated. Have any of you ever been honest with God? See, here's what I like about God. We can be gut-wrenching honest with Him. And He doesn't take a lightning bolt and go, and zap us. That's what we deserve. But He doesn't zap us. Our God is a big God, and He can take our irritation. We need to know that we got a God that's not petty. Your husband or your wife gets a little irritated with you, and you get a little petty. But our God, don't be going looking at your spouses that way. Oh my God. That's a finger. Never mind. I mean, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, Abraham had been promised something. The clock is still ticking. Sarah is no longer a spring chicken. I mean, she wasn't a spring chicken 15 years ago when the promise was made. Here's what I want us to understand. When things get tough, God isn't moved by the circumstances, and He's not moved by our frustration. And what did He do with Abraham? He didn't get upset with him. He doesn't get upset with us. He didn't say something that us parents say to our children a lot. He didn't say, "You have no right questioning me." No. He took him outside and he said, "Son, look at the stars. Can you count them? Such as your descendants are going to be." He said, and here's the deal. He recorded this so we would understand that it's okay to question. In Habakkuk, the prophet, he said, "Oh, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or I cry out violence, and you do not save us?" See, Lord God had recorded in his word when mighty men and women of God, King David and others, when they cried out in lack of faith and in frustration, He had those things recorded so that we would understand that our faith can wane, but God's promises never wane. His timing might not be our timing, but His word never returns void. He is not like us, When we promise something with our children or with our spouse or with other people with no intention, or maybe even with good intention, but we never fulfill it. God is not a man that he will lie. We can take his word and go to the bank on it, and it will be fulfilled. Our problem is, God says something and we stamp it with a date. He doesn't. We have to be patient and wait on the Father. Abraham wanted to come up with a plan B. He decided that he was going to make Eleazar the inheritor of his promise. So God took him out and showed him the stars. Now here's the next part that's really exciting. God says, it's going to be a son from your loins. And because God's timing wasn't yet, God went through a very elaborate ceremony. It was called the cutting of a covenant. Now, covenant is extremely important even today. A covenant is like a contract, but more important. Today, a contract is just something attorneys can make a profit on. But a covenant is a life instrument. A covenant is where two parties back then would take an animal and cut it in half, a heifer or a lamb, and they would lay it out. And the two parties of the covenant in front of witnesses would walk between the halves and say, if we don't keep our covenant, may it be unto us like this animal. May we be killed. May we be like this meat laying on the ground. That's the covenant. And so God told Abraham not to take not just one, but several animals and birds, and the birds one half, and lay them on the ground. And Abraham watched over it into nightfall, and the birds of the air came to pick the carcasses, and he ran them off. And it says a deep sleep fell over Abraham. And then what happened? God himself walked by himself through the pieces. Because God had no one but himself to swear upon. He couldn't swear. He couldn't walk through Abraham. Abraham was human. There was no one greater than God. But God walked through the animal parts and swore upon himself to keep the covenant. You say that's strange. Yes, it was strange. But God wanted Abraham to have a testimony of the covenant that he was making with himself, because God wasn't ready to give him a son. Abraham wasn't ready to receive the son. But God wanted him to have an image of the promise, of the hope that was to come, and not be shaken by his age, not be shaken by Sarah's age, but to know that God's word was true and to have no doubt. And there was coming a time when Abraham might have a doubt, and he wanted him to have a burnt image of the mind of what God had intended. That's the promises of God when we receive them. God passed through the cut animals because Abraham needed the assurance. We have today an image of a covenant that's even used in non-believers. that is set to be the same thing. And that covenant is marriage. Think about this. Whether it's a temple, a chapel, a sanctuary, an assembly hall, a courtroom. Traditionally, especially women, like a centerisle. That's tradition. Traditionally, the woman's on the left, the man's on the right. The family and the, did I have that right? Right? Left and right? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm doing my left, your right. I have to do it my way. Your left. The women are over here. Your left. Y'all's left. The women are over here. The bride and the bride's family and the friends are on y'all's left. My right. The groom and the family are over here. After all the stuff's done up here and they suck face, they pass between the halves as a sign and a symbol of the coming together and the covenant for all times. They are one, and the covenant is formed not to be broken. In fact, one of the last words that the officiant says, whether they're rabbi or what God has put together, let no man bring asunder. It is a lasting relationship. While the church has come up with an excuse to break, and this is never preached, the covenant says in the Bible, if there is a divorce, let neither remarry, or it's a sin. I've never justified that one. I don't know how to justify that one. But it is a form of a covenant. There are other covenants in the Bible that are in life that we have that I'll get into later. This is a multi-part sermon. But the covenant reminds us of the promises that are made. That's why what Paul says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, so that through Him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. So God didn't rebuke Abraham by his complaint. Instead, He reassured him. May we learn to love our children and each other, that in our fallacies and our failures, we rebuke not, but we covet and love and correct in gentleness and esteem as Christ esteems us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand to your feet.